Welcome back, Michael Warren Thomas. This is Grapevine at SaverLife.com, and my lead story this morning is not wine, it's grape juice. And Friday went down on a tour, kind of a road trip, headed to Corning with Chris Clemens of Exploring Upstate. We went in separate cars, but kept the phone line open so we could talk while we were driving down, which was almost as good as having someone in the car with you. And stopped at Fox Run Vineyards, pick up some wine, and I wanted to get their white Pinot Noir, which I'd seen Peter Bell post about, but I hadn't had a chance to taste it, as well as stock up on some reds and a couple sparkling wines. Actually opened one of those sparkling wines from Fox Run, their Blanc de Blanc, last night, and it was spectacular. Phenomenal. Sparkling wine, method champenoise. So picked up some wine, and then Chris noticed that they had a small bottle, sort of single-serving bottle of Riesling juice in the cooler. And it was bottled by Fulkerson, which has a juice plant, sells juice to home winemakers, and it's where I've purchased fresh-pressed grape juice in the fall many years to freeze and have it for winter and spring and summer before the next grape harvest. And mentioned to Sarah Fulkerson a number of times that I wish they would find a way to bottle their juice because it's only available when they're pressing. And if you don't freeze your own, you don't get a chance to try these juices, which are really, really delicious. And you probably won't go back to Welch's grape juice ever again once you see the variety of flavors and things in these different varietal grape juices. So the people at Fox Run said that Fulkerson has lots more of these, not just Riesling. And so we added Fulkerson to a list of stops on our way to Corning, and walked in the front door of Fulkerson Winery, and there's a big display of these bottled juices, and they probably had 100 bottles in the display. There were about a dozen different varieties. Some of them were French-American hybrids. Some of them were native. Some of them were vinifera. They had Syrah and Gewürztraminer and Sauvignon Blanc. Merlot. They also had Himrod and Catawba and Shaunac. Really an extraordinary range of juices, as well as a couple of ciders, not hard ciders, but just fresh cider. Again, varietal. One called Empire is made with Empire apples, and the other Burgundy, which I didn't realize was a grape variety, but I think it is. And so lots of these little bottles to try, and I have to admit that I brought one of each home, which I'm prone to do with things like this. And so I have, you know, like 14 of these little bottles, which are maybe, I don't know, I didn't check to see how many ounces they are, but maybe a little more than a single serving, nice. Simple label, and it's now I'm going to promote this like crazy because I wanted to keep doing it. And I guess they are available. Well, the Riesling was available at Fox Run, and they said there was, let's see, maybe the Tops and Watkins Glen maybe is carrying it. Didn't actually know there's a Tops and Watkins Glen, but I may have gotten where the Tops is located, but one of the grocery stores is carrying them, some of them, I guess. And we've got to find a way to get some up here in Rochester, and, you know, maybe at Abundance Market be a great place to have some of these. And, Chris Clemens did a blog post about non-alcoholic options at the wineries, because at exploringupstate.com, you can find it from a couple of years ago. And there were a fair number of options you know, well, maybe not fair number, more like the occasional option for something other than wine or water when you visited a winery. And, you know, this is a family-friendly wine region. A lot of families, a lot of kids show up at the wineries. Some of them, like Lakewood, have playground equipment outside, or they did, partly because their kids were growing up. But you also have, as I've said many times, people who are pregnant or on medicine who just don't drink alcohol, who are driving and don't want to drink any alcohol. I mean, there's a lot of reasons that some of the people in a group that are visiting wineries might not be drinking alcohol. And instead of saying, you know, well, would you like some water? You know, Fulkerson can say, you know, here's our list of different juices you could try. And, you know, personally, and I forget where this was, went somewhere that had a nice wine list, but maybe it was a restaurant a couple of years ago, and they had some interesting non-alcoholic things to drink. Not really 0% cocktails, but sort of interesting, intriguing juices, and I forget what different kinds of options there were, but I remember choosing those instead of the wine because they sounded kind of interesting, like things I hadn't tried. And you try wine lots of different places. You know, the chance to try an interesting non-alcoholic option was intriguing. And I don't know, maybe it was a switchel or a ginger beer or something like that. But I'm one who does drink wine and would still look for these non-alcoholic options, and, you know, ended up purchasing, you know, like 14 bottles at Fulkerson on Friday. So I imagine, well, actually I did ask them, they can ship them if you want to order some of these from Fulkerson. And they are shelf stable, so it's been pasteurized. They are they're not going to get better sitting in the jar the way, you know, wines often do get better over time. The grape juice isn't, but it is stable. And you know, when you, and I've said this so many times about holiday events, you know, when you have, and you'll have fewer people around the holiday tables, you know, this holiday season, certainly in many cases. But, you know, it's often similarly, children, people who don't drink alcohol, et cetera. And you have something interesting to offer them. You know, like one of the varieties was Rosette, which I've seen, I think it's a French-American hybrid, although I've seen it on the list just because it's one that Fulkerson presses. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the reasons Fulkerson did this is that their juice sales were down this year because fewer people were coming down to the winery, and you can only really buy the juice at the winery. So, you know, you've pressed it, you've grown it, you've taken care of it all year. Let's find a way to sell this juice. And, you know, so this may be something that they weren't going to do, and it was really just the pandemic that drove the decision to launch this series of small bottles. But let's grab onto that and try and get the word out. And, you know, I have neighbors who for quite a few years have ordered grape juice from California. You know, and these are people who love food and don't drink wine, but they wanted something interesting. And I don't know how they originally discovered this winery. I think it's Navarro Vineyards, which is a pretty well-known California winery. They just won some awards for their wines in Dan Berger's his annual wine competition, which is a big one in California. And so they were ordering the Gewürztraminer and Pinot Noir juice bottled like wine, and Navarro Vineyards probably sold quite a bit of that. And I don't know how our neighbors originally found out that it was even offered, because I don't know any other wineries that are offering it in the country. So they were having these bottles of interesting, delicious grape juice shipped from California to Rochester. Now I've got to send them a note with a photo of all these bottles. They can get a far more variety of grape juices right here in the Finger Lakes, Fulkerson Winery. So the next couple weeks, maybe after the new year, I'll contact Fulkerson and see if there's a way to get it distributed up to Rochester. Place like Abundance, Redbird Market, Lombardi's, Laurie's Natural Foods, some of the those interesting markets that carry quite a few local foods. And they don't have lots of shelf space, but this is a really unusual product, and I love the idea. I guess it's Sayre's son, Stephen, who's launched this, and again, many different ones available right now at Fulkerson, so they can ship them to you, and you can get a whole lot of different ones to have this winter. So again, it's kind of funny on a show about wine to talk about grape juice, but I'm very excited about this, and I can't wait to open some. I have not tasted them. I did, and before I went to Fox Run and then on to Fulkerson on Friday, I did stop at FLX Provisions in Geneva and picked up some blind tasting boxes where they rebottle wines from around the world, including some of the Finger Lakes, and put them in small single-serving bottles, and then just a number on them, and you can... You don't have to do this blind. You can look up the number and see what you're tasting when you open it. Or you can taste it and try to figure out what it is. And then go to the FLX Provisions website and look up the number. And it'll tell you what the wine is with some notes about it. So really good descriptions of each of the wines. The price point and, a good overview of what is your tasting. And you can order these blind tasting boxes. There's 12 bottles in them. I don't know if they do smaller amounts. And they're about $10 a bottle, which is, some of them are not really expensive wines, but more expensive wines than I might normally purchase. Some of them are relatively inexpensive. It's kind of a mix. And again... Christopher Bates, who is a master sommelier, chooses the wines for this, and I expect probably send some of these to. I bet some are ordered by sommeliers, people who are training to be master sommeliers. It's a lot easier to open one of these bottles on the wallet than it is to buy a full bottle. For some of the more expensive wines that you have to taste as someone who's training to be a master sommelier. So you have FLX Provisions and get more details. Also, I was down the main reason to go to Corning on Friday was to visit the Quincy Exchange, which is the new restaurant that Christopher and Isabel have just opened. Friday night was their first night. And I did not eat there, which I said yesterday on the food show was, I think they thought it was a little odd that I drove 2 hours, hour and a half, really, to Corning. It just took longer because we went down through Watkins Glen and down from Geneva. But, driven that far and not stay to dine with them was did seem kind of odd, but we had to get back to Rochester. My daughters were cooking dinner, and I did not want to miss that. So would have gotten takeout, but they had to leave before the kitchen opened. And it was their first night. You know, it didn't want to add, you know, if the restaurant had been open for a while, I might have said, you know, could you do this stuff a little early, because we're going to get on the road. But for their first night, I wouldn't consider doing that. So fun to see the space, which is really what I wanted to do. It had been, there have been papers over the windows up until yesterday or Friday morning, I guess, as they worked on the space. It's lovely. It's a former bank building, the Quincy Wellington Bank. The bank vault is still in the back of the dining room, and they have just lovely windows on the corner. It is on Market Street, and one of the prominent corners of Market Street. It's a stunning building. Just the clock that they have off the side of the building is really cool, with some stained glass kind of below it. Really decorative. It's gorgeous, gorgeous corner. And their Corning edition of FLX Provisions opened a few weeks ago. And they're doing small plates, some charcuterie. You can get their house-made chips or brown butter nuts or Marcona almonds. They also have some sardines and hot sauce. There's mussels and pickled sauce. These are things out of tins that they also sell, the tins themselves, if you want to bring them home. There's stuffed red peppers with hake and shrimp served warm, anchovy stuffed green olives. And the anchovy stuffed green olives, I'd love to try one. I'm not sure I would get a full tin of those. And it, you know, anchovies are one of those things that is loved and hated. There aren't too many people that are neutral on anchovies. But lots of cool little things. They have a farmer's board, and they do house-cured meats, and it's really quite a few options at the FLX Provisions, which they're also doing in Geneva. So this is new since they expanded FLX Provisions, their wine store in Geneva. They moved FLX Freibird down to the end of the street, Linden Street in Geneva. So, and FLX Provisions has now expanded from only Finger Lakes Wines, which was what all they could do when they first opened it. But the regulations around wine and spirits and things for restaurants have been relaxed for the time being, and so they are able to sell wines from around the world. And those that's one of the reasons those blind tasting boxes include wines from around the world. So again, the empire of taste that is FLX Hospitality has grown there. This is a 2-week preview of the Quincy Exchange in Corning, and just that 2-week clock started on Friday. And then they're going to probably, well, I'm not sure what they're going to do, but I think they'll see how demand is, how the surge in the coronavirus is going in January, and decide what to do at that point. Maybe close it down for a month or two, maybe not. I don't know. The Myard Club, their fine dining restaurant, and really the Quincy Exchange, looks like fine dining, and the menu is maybe simpler, more small plates, but the sort of steak and other, well, they do some steak frites at the Quincy Exchange, but the, you know, the larger entrees and sort of large wine list, planning about 1,500 wines on their wine list, will be upstairs. There is an elevator in the building, and eventually they have a rooftop that they could use for dining. That would be a pretty cool space up there some point in the future. So the Myard Club, their fine dining restaurant, not open yet, and that is, I'm not sure they have a planned date at this point for opening it, but the plans are in the works, and the first floor looks really stunning. They've got a lot of space, and excited for them. It's right, a key point in Corning, and there aren't a ton of really interesting restaurants in Corning. This is exciting if you live in or work in the Corning area. If you run into news, things that are happening, email me, michael@saverlife.com. Herd Orchards is open today. Wanted to mention that, as I've been posting for them on social media, Facebook in particular, and so I've been going out there a little bit more than usual to get photos and kind of catch up on what's going on there. And really, if I lived out in the Brockport area, I would probably see if I could get a job at Herd Orchards, because I just love the what they do with using natural materials to decorate, whether it's in their 1802 barn or just on a a gift box that they send out. So you can go to herdorchards.com and get details. They're open today, 11 to 3, sometimes a little bit later. They'll, so if it's 3:15, you can be pretty sure they're still there. But call ahead if you want to make an appointment, go a little bit later or a different day. They are going to be open Wednesday and then Thursday, Christmas Eve, 11 to 3 both days. And they are delivering pies to Rochester on Christmas Eve at noon to a location in Brighton. And if you want to order a pie for Christmas or two or three or six, I mean, really, I love their pies. You've got tons to choose from raspberry pie to apple pecan crisp pie, mincemeat, pecan, rhubarb, blackberry, blueberry, cherry. One of my favorites right now is apple raspberry pie. Love that combination. And then, of course, apple pie, too. And they have more. Their holiday baked goods that, again, these need to be ordered in advance. They don't have all of these things sitting there waiting for someone to show up. They pretty much bake all of these to order. Maybe the exception would be the cranberry orange cake and the pumpkin cake. They do have those available if you just happen to stop by today. But otherwise, for most of these pies and other baked goods, you'd need to place your order in advance, and I would do that today. Or they're there to take orders tomorrow, even though they're not open with regular hours at the farm market. You can still call them, but give them a few days, because it's one of the busiest baking days for them leading up to Christmas Eve. There's a winter herb quiche, and they do a couple different sizes of chicken pot pie, and a pound cake, a bunch of other breads and cookies. So get your orders in advance, and get details at herdorchards.com. And if you're looking for something for the holidays that you can't find, please email me, michael@saverlife.com. Hopefully I can help you find a source for a gift, and look for local gifts. Get local wine, get local gift cards from restaurants, spend as much as you can, perhaps an increased percentage compared to previous years, on local businesses, and go out of your way to support these independent businesses. The restaurants, this is going to be a super tough winter for them. Chuck Sierankowski, who was one of the founders of Good Luck and Lucky's, one of the most experienced restaurateurs in Rochester, also a part of Java's, put out a post on Facebook and also on social media or Instagram. He calls it an imperfect plan. this is to try and deal with what restaurants, how they're going to survive. So this is, you can look him up, or I can send you the links to this. Sarankowski is Sarankowski. Sarankowski. He says, here's a simple sketch, and it is literally a sketch. He sent the photos and posted those too, of a strategy the existing New York State or Monroe County public health infrastructure could enact to provide transparency, let patrons use their own judgment, and ensure that businesses are complying with rules and shut them down if they are not. Imperfect, in quotes, because I understand I've missed some things or that this deserves honing. If overly simplistic, it's only because it screams to leaders to do something to facilitate us, restaurateurs, getting through this sensibly. Why nothing like this has been tabled is beyond me, but perhaps all the months of us on the restaurant side shifting operational strategy and creating procedures in order to adapt motivates us more to fix a problem beyond using shutdowns or wintertime outdoor dining as solutions. The current yellow zone orange split in Monroe County, hailed by the governor as a solution, is a ridiculous fairy tale premised on the fact that business corridors are somehow isolated from one another by being 6 minutes apart. It's unfair, it's prejudicial, and damaging. The sketch is not meant to burden businesses with another layer of hollow bureaucracy. Here are fair, simple, easily understandable, and enforceable rules that acknowledge the threat that COVID is while providing a path for businesses to survive until restrictions can be lifted completely. You should read this. There are three levels, A, B, and C. And this reminds me of health department placards that were in the windows, probably still are, in Toronto restaurants. So in Toronto, the health department posts green, yellow, and I think red means just closed. But, you know, green, they've passed all their health department inspections. Yellow is they failed a couple of them. Not serious enough to be shut down, but serious enough that that they have to fix them. And so the restaurants have to put these placards, which are about, as I recall, they were maybe 8 inch square in their windows. And you know, that leaves it up to the customer. You see yellow in the window of a restaurant. Do you look up and find more information? Do you just go in and eat? Do you skip that restaurant? It certainly gives restaurants incentive to make sure that doesn't happen and that they stay in the green. It's a interesting concept. Again, that's Toronto, and that's their health department. So Chuck Sarankowski's idea is to use something similar for COVID. And so an A posted in the window would mean that they this place is adhering to all the COVID protocols, and that no one that works there has been has tested positive within 14 days. B, they follow basically most protocols, and the they're a known positive case traced to this business in the last 14 days. So, you know, I think that would stop some people. It would make few people think about it. Some wouldn't care and would go in. Some, you know, might completely avoid a restaurant that had a B rating. And these would be online, perhaps more importantly than, you know, in the window of the restaurant, but probably in the window of the restaurant too. Or they get a C, and that is a known positive case traced to business in the last 14 days. And they're found to be non-compliant with some COVID protocols, and the if, again, this is all proposed. This is not regulations that are going on now, just proposed by Chuck Sarankowski. And What would happen is the business that had a C would have 3 days to comply with the COVID protocols that they weren't complying with, or risk being shut down for 14 days, sort of mandatory quarantine. And again, this would, I don't think Chuck addressed how many people could dine in the restaurant. You know, 25%, 50% occupancy, you know, what the occupancy level was. I would guess that he would be leaning toward the 50 to 100% occupancy. And again, you know, it puts some of the burden, the responsibility for making sure things go right on the restaurant. And because they want to stay open. Hopefully I can, I just saw this, this morning. Hopefully I can reach Chuck at some point, and maybe, next weekend we can talk to him about this idea. But, he has enough contacts in the restaurant world that, this will hopefully get to, the economic development people in the county, and then perhaps on to the governor. I'm sure restaurants in New York City are also trying to come up with a way to survive. And the comments that people made are really fascinating to read to these Instagram and Facebook posts by Chuck. So if you want links, more details, email me, michael@saverlife.com. And again, for the holidays, consider getting some gift cards and takeout, and again, getting extra takeout and freezing it for some future meals, and support our local restaurants. We will be back next weekend after Christmas, Saturday, with Gardening Restaurants Discover the Finger Lakes. Have a wonderful Christmas week and holidays, and I'll be back next weekend at SaverLife.com.